Let's open our Bibles once again this morning. And we're going back to the 7th chapter of the book of Exodus. 7th chapter, verse number 14. I'd like you to follow the reading of God's precious word. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. And as we open the scriptures together, just let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless us as we open the scriptures in His presence. Heavenly Father, this is Thy word. We thank Thee and we praise Thee that Thou art teaching us through Thy word. We pray that Thou wilt bless us this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, that the entrance of Thy word giveth light. And we pray that even this morning that Thou wilt enlighten us afresh. O blessed Spirit of God, enlighten our hearts and open our eyes that we might behold great and mighty things out of Thy word. And so to this end, I take and claim the promise, Holy Ghost, that blessed power of Pentecost. O God, fill me this day to the uttermost. I take in Jesus' name. Thank God He undertakes for me. I pray for the glory of our Savior and for the honor of His name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles. Exodus chapter 7, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he cometh out unto the water. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent thou shalt take in thine hand. Thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with a rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all the pools of water, and they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up his rod and smote the waters that were in the river, and in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after that the Lord had smitten the river. Amen. And we know that God will once again add His blessing to the reading of His precious and His infallible book for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. Now we're looking at the plagues that God sent to the land of Egypt and upon Pharaoh. And the Bible says that with these plagues that God smote the land of Egypt. You remember the question that Pharaoh asked whenever Moses and Aaron went into his presence and they said in the name of the Lord to let the people go. And he asked the question, who is the Lord that I might obey him? And therefore he was asking, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? And then he said this, I know not the Lord. And you will notice that after that, and in these plagues, God is going to reveal exactly who He is. And you know, God does it in a wonderful way because there's always design, there's always order, there's always a purpose with the moving of God. Because he said, who is this Lord? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and that I should let Israel go? I know not the Lord. And he's going to reveal to Pharaoh just exactly who he is. And what God does is this. He starts to move upon what are the perceived gods of Egypt. And he is going to show just how futile and how empty are the gods that Pharaoh has and the people of Egypt have in their hearts. Because God says in his word, thou shalt have no other god before me. And so we find that God is going to strike at the very heart of what the Egyptians believed and what they perceived to be the gods. And he was saying, well, who is this Lord that I should obey him and let the children of Israel go? And God says, I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm going to reveal who I am. And all the gods of Egypt are as nothing. They are absolutely empty. They are absolutely useless. Not one of them can deliver out of my hand who is the God of the Israelites, the God of his people. Now, I said last Lord's Day that there, in the plagues, there's always a moving and a progression of intensity of what God is doing. And God is moving toward the end, which is already promised in chapter 4, that God is going to smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And all that God is going to do to that moment is to progressively intensify his power and reveal his power unto Pharaoh. I said to you also that there are three groups of threes in the plagues. And you'll notice that in the first and the second there's a warning, the third there's not. And the fourth and the fifth there's a warning, the sixth there's not. And the seventh and the eighth there's a warning, on the ninth there's not. And then they all come, and they come right to the pinnacle of God's judgment upon Egypt. And that is indeed the judgment which God has said he's going to do, and the judgment of death upon the firstborn of Egypt. Now you'll notice that each of these series begin in the morning. Because if you turn to chapter 7 and verse number 15, it says, go thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. And there we see the first three. And the first time that we find that Moses is to go to Pharaoh, he's to go to him in the morning. And then if you go to chapter 8 and the verse number 20, I think it is, it says, yes, in verse 20, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. And then, of course, if you go to chapter 9 and come to verse number 13, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning. So each of these series of threes, the first time that Moses is to meet Pharaoh, he meets him at a particular time. He's meeting him in the morning. I want to tell you this, friend. You'll find that when it comes to the last of the judgments of God, it is absolute night. There's no more morning. There is no more morning. It is the final judgment of God. And it is in the night time that you find that the final judgment of God comes. And I want to tell you this. There are people in the service this morning, and I want to tell you, it's still morning for you. It's still morning, but I want to tell you, you're headed toward the night. When God finally brings judgment upon you, if you turn your back on God, if you refuse the moving of God upon your soul, and the wooing of God and the challenge of God to your soul in your need of salvation, I want to tell you, it starts in the morning, but it'll end in the night, because you're headed to the night of the place of the outer darkness, where is the blackness and the darkness forever in a Christless, unending eternity, which God's word tells us is called hell. But now let us look this morning. I want us to look at some of the first of these plagues, and I want to see how God is moving and what God's doing here. Let's go to chapter 7 now. And from verse 14 to verse 25, you find the first of the plagues. And the Bible says that the first of the plagues that God is sending upon the land of Egypt is the plague of the blood. It is a plague of the blood. And so we find here in the chapter number 7, God says in verse 15, get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out unto the water. And here we find that he's going to the river's edge and he's going to the Nile, which is a very important water for the Egyptian people and also for Pharaoh himself. And we find that before God is finished, he's going to turn the waters of the Nile, its streams, its canals, its reservoirs, he's going to turn them all into blood. And before God sent this plague, of course, he gives a warning. Verse 16, "Thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldst not hear, thus saith the Lord." And so God warns them. Before he sends this of the first of the plague, God warns them. And this plague lasts for 7 full days. 7 full days, we find this condition prevails until the fish all die in the water. They float on the surface, but there's not one of them are able to be eaten because they're the dead fish. Verse 20, it says there in this chapter, "And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. He lifted up his rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned into blood. And the fish that was in the river died. And the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt." Here we find that there was a pollution. An awful pollution took place. The pollution of the drinking water. The very pollution of the atmosphere, because the Bible says that the river stank. And so we find that God, in the first of his judgments, in the first of his plagues, God is saying, "This is who I am. I am the God of creation." And God, in a moment, friend, just in a moment, God turned all the waters here to blood in the land of Egypt. And God did it in the waters of this great Nile. Now, I think it's interesting that that was the first plague. Because I want to tell you, there was another time that the waters turned to blood. The Nile turned to blood. You remember a way back in whenever Moses was born. Do you remember he was, the Bible says he was a proper child. He was goodly to look on. And at that time, we find that the Egyptians, they were afraid of the children of Israel, or the Hebrews. And so they decided, because they were getting so strong, they decided to kill the male children. And what they did was this, that whenever that the midwife would come, and here was a Hebrew woman, and she would give birth to her child, she would see that the midwife would see that it was a male child, and they would take the male child, and they would throw it into the Nile. Now friend, let me tell you this, the male children were all killed. This was the Egyptians, this was Pharaoh, the enemies of God trying to destroy the royal seed that God had of his people. And you know, the Nile was a crocodile infested water too. And I can see them as they take those male children and they throw them into the water. And friend, whenever they throw them into the water, a crocodile would come and would just start to eat upon that little child. And the waters of the Nile would be turning to blood of the innocent. Turning to the blood because God's children were being destroyed. Now, of course, the blood would speak of death. And you know, that tells me, it reminds me right at the very first judgment of God and plague that came upon Egypt, it reminds me that those who defy Almighty God, friend, face death. Those that seek to defy God's mercy and God's grace and God's salvation face an eternal death far greater than the little babies when they were thrown into the water faced the crocodiles. You face, my friend, an eternal hell. You face an eternal judgment of God. And those who defy Almighty God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, face death. And that's what the first sign was. You see, it was interesting because Nile was worshipped. Remember I said that God was going to say, "This is who I am." And God is going to reveal who he is, because you see, the Egyptians had gods, false gods. And they looked upon the Nile and they worshipped the Nile as a deity. In actual fact, they honored the Nile because the priests would chant the Egyptian priests would chant hymns of praise and worship to the Nile. You notice it says here that Pharaoh was down in the morning, he was down the night. It is suggested, in actual fact, that this visit that Pharaoh was making, his purpose was of worship. He was worshiping because the Nile was looked upon as a deity, was looked upon as one of the gods. And so we find that whenever the Nile was turned to blood, that God was letting the Egyptians know that their God was subject to the God of Israel. That God in a moment could turn their honored Nile, onto which the priests would chant their praises, that in a moment God could turn it into a polluted thing. That in a moment God could turn every part of that worship Nile, He could turn it into blood. And the fish that were in it, that God would make them die until it would come to the moment that the very Nile that they worship would stink. That the people would have to, instead of coming down as Pharaoh came down to the river's edge, to that which he would worship, the mighty Nile, that he would have to turn away. Why? The Bible says he went into his own house. He couldn't even stay there. He couldn't stand there. Why? Because the Nile, instead of being something to be worshipped, now the Bible says it stinks. It stinks. You know that anything that becomes an idol to us, friend, will one day become a plague. We sing the wee hymn, you know, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be. Help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. And you know, those that would have gathered down there at the Nile, my, it would be so sweet. It would be so sweet as they would reach down and as they would put their hand into the running waters of all the freshness of the Nile. And here, instead of it being sweet and fresh, now it stinks. You see, all that the devil has got to give you, friend, it only lasts for a season. Do you remember with Moses, when he was making his decision for God, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? And every God that you have in your life, friend, every false God that you have in your life, I want to tell you, there'll come a time in your life when it will no longer bring you satisfaction. Verse 21 says, and the fish that were in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water. Oh yes, before that, it was the most sweetest thing to drink of the waters of the Nile. But they no longer can drink of it because they're polluted. Because those waters begin to stink. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And I say honestly before you today, that although your sin may be sweet to you this morning, I want to tell you there'll come a time when you'll curse the very sin that you have loved. The sin that will take you to hell, and there'll come a time when you'll regret the day you ever reached out to that which you have tasted of the world. Because the world one day will lose its sweetness, and the waters of the world will surely stink. You know, the interesting thing was this, if you go to verse 22. Interesting thing is this, how rebellious man's heart is. See, the Bible says this, that in those verses 20 and 21, that all the waters that were in the rivers were turned to blood. But do you notice it says in verse 22 that the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened? Some people say to me, well, where was the water for them to do that? Go to verse 24. All the Egyptians digged round about the rivers for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. And I see people, and here's their efforts. And here's their efforts, friend, and they're digging, and they're digging, and they're trying to get fresh water. And you know, here's the enemy. How dumb the enemy of God is, isn't really? How foolish they are. Because in actual fact, instead of them seeking to get rid of the plague, what did they do? It says, all the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. In other words, instead of getting rid of the plague, they wasted the water that was in short supply, even after they dug for the water. Here's the magicians, and they turn the water that's been digged for. And they turn it to blood as well. You know, I was just thinking about it, and I said, you know, doesn't God laugh? Doesn't God make such a fool of his enemies? You know what the Bible says, that God even has the kings of the earth. Go to the second Psalm, friend, and you'll find that God has even the very kings of the earth, God has them in derision. And God can use even the very kings that think they're so smart and think that they're in control of everything. And all of those in authority, and mighty, think they're ruling all. And you know what they're doing? They're just fulfilling the purpose of God. And they think that somehow that they're moving mankind just across the board as like a piece of chess. I want to tell you, friend, they're fulfilling the purpose and the plan of God. And here we find that here's the enemies, here's the magicians, and they're wasting the very water that was in short supply. You know, wouldn't it have made sense if the magicians could have turned the blood to water? Wouldn't that have been what was needed? But they were turning water to blood. Oh, friends, how foolish man is. And think of all the efforts. Here's the men and they're digging. And they're spending their efforts and digging and digging and they're digging for water. And instead of the magicians aiding them to get fresh water, what are they doing? They're turning even the fresh water to blood. Now, that reminds me that all of your works, friend, that you're trying to do to get you peace of heart and get you peace of mind and get you right with God, all your efforts are worthless and empty. For they'll turn to blood someday. They'll turn to judgment someday. But you see, here's the reason why they couldn't turn the blood to water. Because the devil has no power to remove the judgments of God. He was powerless. Oh yes, his agents. They decided that they would turn the last bit of water there was and they would turn it after man's effort in digging for it. They would turn it to blood. What an achievement. And the people were crying out for fresh water. And they were turning the water to blood. You know, God who sits in the heavens, the Bible says, shall laugh. And you'll have the kings of the earth in derision. There's the first plague, friend. God says to Pharaoh, you want to know who I am? You want to know who is the Lord? And there was Pharaoh early in the morning, was down worshipping at the side of his deity, the Nile. And God in a moment, friend, gone turned his water to blood. Did it break his heart? Did it break his rebellious spirit? Go to verse 24, or verse 23. And Pharaoh turned. And he went into his house. Neither did he set his heart to this also. He wouldn't listen. Sad reality is there's people sitting in God's house this morning, friend, and you've set your heart against the Lord. Yes, you've come to God's house, but you won't turn. The prophet says in the Old Testament, turn ye, for why will you die? But you're not willing to turn. Instead of turning to God, you're just doing like Pharaoh. You're hardening your neck, friend. And you're turning your back on God. And you're going into your house and just shutting the door. And the door of your heart is closed against the God of glory this morning. You know, man cannot prosper when he rebels against God. Go to chapter 8. And there we see the second plague. It is the plague of the frogs. And in verses 1 to verse number 15, we have the story of the plague of the frogs. And once again, you'll notice that before the plague was sent, God warned. It says in verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord. In other words, he said, listen, Pharaoh, I have a message from God for you. Your heart has been rebellious, but God has a message that he wants me to bring you. And so he goes in from verses 1 to 4, and he goes in, and he tells them a message from God. You know, this is a serious message, he said, listen. I will smite all the borders of, or thy borders with frogs, verse 3. And the rivers shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of the servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And here we find that the frogs are going to infiltrate every area of the land. That's just like sin, friend. Sin will infiltrate every part of your life, friend, until it destroys it. You'll notice it says that they're going to infiltrate the family life. It says, listen, and the verse 3, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house. Right into your house, friend. Right into your family life. And I want to tell you, sin will seek to destroy your family. And then you'll notice it says, into thy bedchamber. In other words, sin will come in to destroy your married life. Right into your bedchamber. And is it not true that the devil's seeking to destroy families today? Is it not true that the infiltration of sin, friend, has come right into the family and is destroying the home? It's coming right into the very bedchamber itself and destroying the married bonds and the marriage bonds and the married life of husband and wife. And then it says this, into thy bed. Even into your restful life when you go and you lay your head upon the bed and try to get rest. You see, the Bible says there is no rest unto the wicked. And here we find that God is sending into every aspect of the life. Friend, listen, it even says, into thine ovens and into thy kneading troughs. You know, it can contaminate every part of your life. And just as these frogs were going to infiltrate and contaminate every aspect of their lives. Even the food life, let me tell you. And people today are poisoning themselves. And the frogs of drugs. And the frogs of what people eat and drink are destroying their lives. So it comes to the moment, friend, that they would even choose the booze and even choose the drugs before they'd even choose the food itself. And God says, I want to tell you, these frogs will mess up your life, Pharaoh. And friend, let me tell you, sin was messing up your life. And I don't care what you might think you're getting out of it. There will be pleasures of sin, yes, but there'll come a time that the pleasures will no longer be. The frogs will mess up your life. You see, it's interesting. Why the frogs? See, what significant would the frogs be? Well, you see, the frogs were worshipped also. The Egyptians worshipped frogs. They were one of their gods. You see, the Egyptians imputed to the frog the god of the power of fertility. But I'll tell you this, the fertility of these frogs became a blight.
instead of a blessing. Natural fact, the Egyptian religion forbid the killing of the frogs. And so therefore, even though these frogs were a nuisance, the pagan theology of the Egyptian forbid them to do anything about them. You say, why didn't Pharaoh order his soldiers to kill them? He couldn't. That's why he said, Moses, would you pray to God and treat them for us? Because he couldn't touch them. Because in the Egyptian theology, and in their false teaching and in their religion, these frogs of fertility, the power of fertility, they could not be touched. Instead of becoming a blessing, they became a plague. But again, notice verse number 7. You can imagine God says, listen, it's going to come into the bedchamber, it's going to come into your house, it's going to come into your bed, it's going to come into your servant's house, your people's house, your ovens, your kneading troughs. Every place is going to be plagued by frogs. Now, surely the answer is get rid of them. But they couldn't. But notice verse number 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And so here once again we see the thing that was being a plague, the thing that was blighting their lives, instead of the magicians saying, listen, we will prove our power. And that we will remove the frogs. We will send the frogs back to the rivers. Not at all. They didn't need more frogs, friend. The land of Egypt didn't need more frogs. But the magicians, they brought the frogs out of the river. In other words, they only made things worse. You know what a fool I was thinking about? What a fool the devil makes of people. What a fool the devil makes. Here's a man and he's a slave to the bottle. And the man knows that it's destroying his life and destroying his body and every part of his life's decaying, friend. And he knows he needs food, and he knows he needs things that will nourish the body and build it up, and yet he reaches out for more bottle. And he knows it's destroying. The devil makes a fool of you. And every time he reaches, he knows he's destroying more. You see, why didn't they seek to rid the land of the frogs? The answer was this. They couldn't. And so to prove their power, to act in rebellion against God, if He can bring frogs, so can we! You see, they couldn't because they couldn't remove the judgment of God. And all they could do was increase the problem. You know, this plague, if you just read it very quickly and no time's going, this plague was now getting to Pharaoh. Look at verse number 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And here's the first, as it were, the first chink in the armor. Because this is the first time that Pharaoh is now requesting to have the plague removed. And you notice what he said this, entreat the Lord. Remember what he said earlier on, who is this Lord? Who is this Lord? And now we find that he begins, as it were, to weaken, and he says, I want you to entreat the Lord for me. And I want you to entreat him for my people, that he will remove or take away, to take away the frogs from us. Just thinking about that, you know. You notice the selfish priority of Pharaoh. He was wanting the frogs taken away from me and from my people. It wasn't that he was wanting to deal with the sin. It wasn't to deal with the problem of his heart. He was wanting to get rid of the frogs. That's all he wanted. And friends, some people today, all they want is to get rid of the judgment of God. It's not they want to get rid of their sin. Some here's a person and they're sick and they cry out and say, preacher, will you pray that God will heal me? It's not that they want the Lord. It's not that they want a salvation. It's not they want to be right with God and to be ready to meet Him. They just want rid of the disease. They want to go back to their sin. Notice the selfish priority. Secondly, notice the silly procrastination. Because Moses said, verse 9, Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and from thy house, that they may remain in the river only? Notice what he said. And he said, tomorrow. Tomorrow. Then why didn't he say today? Here we find that he was willing to sleep because these frogs would enter into the bed chamber. They would enter into his very bed. And yet here we see the silly procrastination. Don't do it now. Don't entreat to God to remove them now, tomorrow. He was willing to sleep with the frogs another night. What a fool. What a fool. The sad reality is this, my friend. That's like many a sinner. And he realizes that he has got a habit that needs to be broken. He realizes it's a sin that has got to be conquered. But somehow, he wants rid of it. Tomorrow. See, that sin, that habit, friend, that's destroying your life and maybe even destroying your body. You need delivered from it now. Do you remember what Felix said? He says, when I have a more convenient season, then I'll call for thee. You know, sin never makes a man smarter. Sin makes a man a fool. And wouldn't you think that the natural thing that Pharaoh would have said to him, he said, Moses, pray that God will take them away from him now. Moses says, when will I entreat God for you? He says, tomorrow. And then notice a stubborn prerequisite here. Go back to verse 8. Pharaoh said, or called Moses and Aaron, said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go. In other words, he's bargaining with God. He thinks that somehow that he can bargain with God. Here's a stubborn prerequisite. In other words, he sets a condition. If God removes the frogs, I let the people go. And you know, there are people like that, let me say this. If God removes the disease, then I can see it. If God removes the sickness, then I can see it. If God does this for me, then I can see it. Let me tell you, my friend. You can't bargain with God like that. The Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, He says, harden not your heart. And real faith does what God demands regardless. If it's not God's will to heal me, then I'm still going to trust Him. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Are you bargaining with God this morning? Do you think that somehow you've got a bargaining chip with God, friend? That's the action of a fool. Here's the last thought. The solemn pretentiousness. Verse 15. And when Pharaoh saw that there was respite. In other words, God removed it. He hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. Oh, I've seen it in my life. I've seen people promising great things to God, friends. Let me tell you, when their back was against the wall and they're in trouble. And God removes that, and God helps me, and God brings me through this situation. Preacher, I'll serve God for the rest of my life, and I'll give my life to the Lord, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, friend. And let me tell you this. And they're just like Pharaoh. And they get the respite. And they turn their back on God. Man can't do that and prosper, friend. Neither can you. Who is this Lord that I should obey Him? I know not the Lord. And in the first of the plagues, God says, Pharaoh, this is who I am. Don't mock God this morning. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. May God give you grace to do so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that those that are playing with sin this morning, that our God, that thou wilt bring genuine conviction of sin and give them repentance of heart. Oh, that this morning that they might be blessed with the exercise of true saving faith, that their lives might be changed, that their homes might be rearranged by the power of the living Christ. I pray this humbly in Jesus' precious name. Amen.